CM Punk gonna be there. I said it before and I'm gonna say it again. What's going on, everybody? It is I, the Franchise, here, one half of the World Club Wrestling Podcast. First and foremost, I want to wish everybody happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving, however you want to acknowledge, no pun intended, acknowledge this day of celebration, of giving thanks. I am recording this on Thanksgiving. I'm recording this on Thursday. Prior to me enjoying my time with my family, I wanted to do it because pretty sure I'm not really going to want to do much Friday. I'm probably going to be doing some shopping. And Saturday is Survivor Series War Games. So I wanted to do a prediction show, a preview show, before we embark on war. Let me try to... War Games, because the state of the world that we're living in now, it may be... We may get in some type of trouble if I go any further. But let's jump right into this, man. I do not want to take much of you guys' time today. I just want to talk about a few things about War Games. I wanted to get into, ironically enough, you will be surprised, but I do want to talk about the latest AEW pay-per-view, Full Gear. I know, Franchise, you said that you wasn't going to talk about AEW. I know, but I want to give AEW credit. That's all I'm going to say. So, before I dive into that portion of it, let's talk about this upcoming Saturday in Chicago, War Games Survivor Series War Games. As always, five matches. We already know how Triple H loves to do quality over quantity. Okay? He doesn't like the 12, 20 matches. No. Give us. Like to do it in the ranking at which our interest level, my interest level. So first things first, I'm going to start off with the women's world title being on the line. Well, Rhea Ripley defending her title. Mommy, yes, will be defending her title against Zoe Starks. Now, I'm not like, I really don't have that much invest interest into this. We all know that Rhea Ripley is going to come out victorious. I just wonder, what's the payoff for Rhea Ripley? You know, what is the payoff? Who is actually, because I know everybody wants to talk about who's going to be the one that's going to dethrone Roman Reigns, but who's going to be the woman to dethrone Rhea? That's the real question, in my opinion. We already know, we kind of have an idea that it's Cody that's going to dethrone Roman, but as far as Rhea and the women's world title goes, who's going to be the one to dethrone? Who's going to be the one to step up to be like, I'm going to be the one that's going to beat Rhea Ripley? I know a lot of us want to think it's Becky. I personally don't. If y'all watched the last show, I spoke about how I wanted Rhea Ripley to destroy, annihilate the man that we know as Becky Lynch. I say that just because I feel though as if with Becky, her time has come. Her time has come, her time is gone. Now she is the elder stateswoman. She's one of the elder stateswomen. And I feel though as if she is going to put people, put them in positions to win. And I feel like having Rhea go over on Becky will do great things for her. Could it possibly be a Liv Morgan? That's a name that I seldomly have seen float around a little bit. That Liv might be the one. She's taking some time off. She hasn't been seen pretty much since. Ooh. I want to say since Rhea took her out. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rhea does, if Liv comes back, wins the Rumble, let's say, faces off with Rhea Ripley, wins the title, dethrones mommy from her throne. But yeah, I'd see this match not being one of Rhea's best matches. I could be wrong. Zoe Starks could come out swinging. I know a lot of people, they say a lot of people in backstage have big praise for Rhea. Zoe Starks. If you listen to any of the Aces episodes, he praises Zoe Starks too. He's a big fan of hers as well. But I got mommy coming out on top, as always. Next up, a match that if you go back to the Crown Jewel recap show, I talked about what was going to happen with Santos and how this was going to play out with Santos and the Brass Knucks, and how this is going to, you know, how would this play itself? And we definitely seen it play itself out this past week, or not this past week, but since Crown Jewel. Obviously Santos has turned on Rey, took Rey out. Rey is out for, they said, 6 to 8 weeks. The LWO, as we know it, is no longer. It has broken apart. And now we have Carlito versus Santos Escobar at Survivor Series. Now, I know when the LWO broke apart, one of the first things that I seen on Twitter, and it's, I thought of it too, was, in all seriousness, I thought Carlito would have turned. I thought Carlito would have got into Santos' ear and kind of made Santos see, like, yo, like, you really don't need Rey. Or kind of start to create that dissension between them. But no, it wasn't. A lot of people don't understand, or they're kind of like looking at it like, what, like, how or why? And Santos gave his reason. They should have, though, showed the cracks after Santos got injured and could not compete for the United States title, and Rey took his spot. They should have showed the cracks there. They should have showed some form of dissension or tension amongst the LWO because Santos is jealous. You took my opportunity. This was my shot. You know, this was my opportunity and you took it. They should have did something like that with Santos. He alluded to it. You know, he said he took the world United States title, the title that should have been mine. But that was like afterwards. You still seen him. He was still LWO. He was still living it up. He was still like showing his praise. But now that the LWO is split and it's divided, and you see, I forgot those two, the two guys. I'm drawing a blank on their names. But who else is in LWO? I think it's time that we get Angel Garza and Humberto to come back up to the main roster and join Santos and form a faction. Like, that's what they should do. I won't be surprised if at War Games, at Survivor Series, we see them show up. Okay? I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe include something with Dominic, because everybody knows anytime you have Rey Mysterio Jr. now, you have to have Dominic in the fold somehow, some way. But I got Santos winning with the help of possibly Angel Garza and Humberto. Next up, we have the Intercontinental title on the line. We have the Ring General himself, Gunther, going up against The Miz. Will The Miz be the one to dethrone Gunther? No, he's not. I'm letting y'all know right now, he is not going to be the one to dethrone Gunther. I believe that I have said it on this podcast, but I think the one that is going to dethrone him will possibly be Jey Uso. I think Jey Uso being on Raw he needs to cement his own legacy by winning a singles title. And what other singles title is there other than the world title? But we know that's not going to happen. So you need to put him in the Intercontinental title picture. Have him be the one to dethrone Gunther. But this will be a good match. Miz has been in his bag lately. As far as in-ring work, he's been in his bag as far as mic skills, but Miz is always great on the mic. But I want to address two things that I've seen or I've heard of. One is what Michael Cole said on Raw. He took a subtle shot, which I noticed on Raw, and apparently a lot of people was upset that some of the things that were talked about, that was promoted, didn't include certain people. Okay. Nikki Bella got upset about them not saying her name for the Barmageddon show that comes on after Raw. She was a little upset about that. Really? Really, Nikki? Even though, if I'm correct, when you left WWE, you kind of were bad-mouthing them at some points in times. I think you and your sister was on a whole campaign and didn't smear WWE's name, but kind of didn't have the best of things to say. I could be wrong, but another thing that people got to understand is this. Triple H wants to kind of not erase Vince McMahon's legacy, because it's hard to do that. It's very hard to erase that. But if I'm Triple H, I want to distance myself away from anything related to any of the allegations or misconduct done during the McMahon reign. You know, so you have the Laurinaitis allegations out there. Laurinaitis is married to the Bella's mother. I wouldn't want, no, like, it's similar to what they did with China. I'm on a tangent right now, but I just want to get to my point. It's similar to what they did with China. One of the reasons why Triple H was so hesitant, or the WWE was so hesitant, and he was on record saying this, is we're in a day and age now where kids, because you got to remember, they're catering to it's family-oriented entertainment. That's what they're doing. Majority of the people that's in the audience are families, are kids. If China was inducted into the WWE by herself, fans, young fans, type her name, what are they going to find? They're not going to find the knife wonder of the world. They're going to find all this stuff, the dark side of China. They're going to find that. Triple H, when he said that, it stuck out because I think that's how they want to treat anything like that. They don't want to associate themselves with it, so they're going to not mention it. So I say all that to say, Michael Cole stated that if The Miz beats Gunther for the Intercontinental title, he will be tied for the most Intercontinental title reigns at 9. Who happens to be the one who has 9 title reigns? A certain demigod. A certain Ocho, as he wanted to refer to. The Ocho. Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, they did not state Chris Jericho's name. And I feel like that was kind of like a slight dig at him. And something else that I've noticed is there cracks in Imperium? Is there cracks in Imperium? There are certain people that are wanting to see Lugit Kaiser. I believe I said his first name wrong. But Kaiser face off against Gunther. Now, they did show something on Raw with Imperium, or not all of Imperium, but Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci in a face-off with Jinder Mahal and his two. Could we see Imperium versus them? Which Imperium will mop the floor in the ring. But if we're talking like stature-wise, look-wise, it don't look too promising for Imperium. It don't look too promising for them. Just throwing it out there. So, next up, we have War Games. The last two matches, we have War Games. We have the women's War Games. We have Damage Control. The new Damage Control. We have Bayley. We have Io Sky. We have Kairi Sane. And we have the woman, the Empress of Tomorrow. We have Asuka. Asuka has joined Imperium. Asuka has joined Damage Control. Now, I remember when Kairi Sane showed up and Bayley looked completely puzzled, like, what just happened? And I happened to say that we need to pay close attention to that, because the last time we seen Kairi Sane, she was attacked by Bayley. They brought that up. Bayley brought it up. Kairi forgave her. And remember I said that it was word around that Triple H wanted the three of them, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Io Sky, to form a faction. You can slowly see Damage Control slipping from Bayley's hands. And they're starting to show glimpse, little things. Bayley's not ripping up posters anymore. Bayley seems very paranoid, for one, but also, could we see a face turn from Bayley? Y'all know how I feel. I would rather have Bayley stay kind of like in the tweener. Don't want her to be a full-blown baby face. They even did the hug, and she's like, I don't do that anymore. I don't hug anymore. And now she's doing the hugging again. But it's very interesting to see. I'm looking forward to seeing the outcome of this because I think the following Friday, next Friday, we may see Damage Control turn on Bayley. But who are they facing? Well, they're facing Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and the man, Becky Lynch. Very confusing at why or how Becky came about. Now, if we remember, Becky and Bianca recently formed a friendship. We know that Becky and Charlotte don't have the best friendship right now. So it was very interesting to me when I happened to see Becky or Bianca tell Charlotte, you got to make the call. Now, it's these two war games that are taking place have a very similar sub story underneath the main story. Right? So when you seen Becky show up on SmackDown, and she stood there, she looked at Charlotte. Charlotte looked at her as if to say, I'll put my issues with you to the side to go after the bigger picture, which is Damage Control. Even though I don't understand Becky's ties to Damage Control right now, other than the fact of it's being Bayley and her and Bayley have had issues. But there's really no core reason why Becky is involved in this match. You know? But it's interesting to see. I'm going to be locked and loaded to see. I shouldn't use those words. I'm going to be very intrigued, very interested in this match. Who do I have coming out? Oh, I have Damage Control losing, which is going to then make Damage Control turn on Bayley, because I think Bayley's going to be the one that's going to take the pin. I think Bayley's going to take the pin, and that's what's going to happen. Now, let's get into the main event, the match, the most anticipated match of the night, obviously. It's the men's war games. We have the Judgment Day with Drew McIntyre, which on Monday, Drew announced that he was not a part of the Judgment Day. He did not join the Judgment Day. He just is doing this to get at Jey Uso because he is still fixated on Jey Uso. So we have the Judgment Day, Finn, Priest, Dom, JD, and Drew McIntyre going against Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, and the return of the Apex Predator himself, Randy Orton. They made the announcement on Raw. We all seen it. We were excited. The crowd went ballistic. Loved how Cody threw the hints in there. The I have a legacy with him. Y'all want to prey on us. Y'all want to look at us as prey. We're not prey. We actually have an apex predator. The build. And then he didn't even have to say the name. The crowd was saying it for him. Randy. But what stole the night of the announcement of Randy Orton being back on, being back, returning after a year, is this face right here. Jey Uso has that face of, oh my God, what the hell have I just done? Like, this was not, y'all didn't ask me my thoughts. Y'all didn't ask me what I thought about it, how I felt. Y'all just said, we're getting Randy. Now, they threw a little monkey wrench in there because Cody was on SmackDown the last Friday. He was on SmackDown. He appeared. He helped LA Knight out against Jimmy and Solo. So everybody was thinking maybe it was going to be LA Knight, but there would have been no reason to, unless it would have been I did this favor for you. Can you help us out in War Games? But that wasn't it. It was Randy Orton. And Jey Uso, because the last time we seen him, Randy Orton, was in May of last year. And Randy Orton has been out with an injury for a year and a half. He's been out. And now he's back. And he's back for War Games with Jey Uso on his side. Very interesting to see how this plays itself out. I will also say, I will not be surprised if Randy Orton, I would love for Randy Orton to go after Cody. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think the last test, the last hard times that he has to face is Randy Orton. I really, truly think that's his last test for him, is going against Randy Orton. But who do I have coming out on top of this? I have Team Cody coming out on top. And then this could be the beginning of the face turn for Senor Damian Priest. Priest has been getting over. You started to see some tension in the air as far as the leader. And we knew this was going to happen when Damian Priest said, I'm the leader of the Judgment Day. And when Rhea turned around and Rhea said, okay, you'll be the leader for War Games. I'm telling you this much right now. The reason Rhea said that is because Rhea is going to step back and let Priest lead this. And when they lose, it's on Priest. And then I won't be surprised. I don't want to see Drew in this faction, but I wouldn't be surprised if they eliminated Drew. I mean, they eliminated Priest, brought Drew in. The Undisputed Tag Team titles are on the line this Friday. It is the Judgment Day. It's Finn and Priest against the Street Profits. I will not be surprised if they lose to the Street Profits on Friday, which then will begin the tension with the Judgment Day leading in there. Rhea looking at Priest like, you lost the tag team titles. Our momentum is going down now. What, like, you have to make this up. So that's what I think. I honestly think that's what's going to happen. I think I can see the Judgment Day losing the tag team titles on Friday, and then they lose at War Games, and Priest is the reason why they lose. Similar to how Bayley's going to be the reason why Damage Control loses, Priest is going to be the reason why the Judgment Day loses. And this will be the beginning of Priest getting removed from the Judgment Day. Now, I cannot go and talk about Survivor Series without talking about what everybody seems to be talking about or wants to talk about. We all know Survivor Series is in Chicago. There's been so many different conspiracies, rumors. Is CM Punk going to be there? I said it before and I'm going to say it again. It's a wait and see. I personally don't want him. You know, I don't think he should come back to the WWE. A lot of people are thinking that Nakamura's the one that's teasing and bringing it in and making it seem as if he's talking about CM Punk, because there's a lot of CM Punk references in his promos that he's cutting. And I just don't see it being CM Punk for some reason. I don't. What I see and I heard someone mention this, but I also think back to when Nakamura turned. He turned during a match with Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and Sami Zayn, I believe. I think for now, I know this is a stretch. I know a lot of y'all going to look at me, look at this video, or if you're listening to it, you're going to kind of scratch your head and be like, that doesn't make any sense. Could the person he's talking about be Cody? Cody needs something. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Randy pivot to Jay, may potentially pivot to Roman for the Rumble, because I think Randy might do the Brock Lesnar and be a free agent and go to both sides. Go to both teams. Go to both brands. And I think that if that happens to be the case, we get Randy going after Jay. Then Randy going after Roman. Or just going after Roman, kind of look at Jay and say, you did that for your family. I understand. I'd have done the same thing. But I don't forget. And just hit him with an RKO and be done. And then Jay goes to do his thing. And then Randy, has his eyes set on Roman at Royal Rumble. Then you get Randy feuding with Cody after he's done with Roman. Because as I said, the last test for Cody has to be someone that is that personal, that can get that personal with him, and nobody in that business, in that industry, in the WWE right now can get that personal with him other than Triple H, and that's Randy Orton. So, I just don't see it being Punk, though. Like, I just don't. It's too obvious. And you have the building's already going to be ready for Randy. Then you're going to bring CM Punk. It's going to defeat. It's going to take away from Randy's return. And let's be honest. Randy is more favored in the WWE locker room, in the WWE front office, in the WWE period, than CM Punk is. So that's just my personal opinion. I just personally feel like Randy Orton is enough, and we are not going to see CM Punk. I think that we're going to see Nakamura go after Cody. Drew a blank. He's going to go after Cody, and we're going to see what happens from there. Before I dive into the last portion of this show, like I said, I don't want to take much time. I think I'm at 30, going on 40 minutes right now. And I want to make sure that I can, you know, get this done real quick. Can we be done with the draft? This past Friday, not the Friday that you're watching this, but last Friday showed me we need to be done with the draft. Just disregard it. Becky shows up on SmackDown. Damage Control shows up on Raw. Matter of fact, look at this right here, because this is very telling. Mind you, remember when Jey Uso showed up on SmackDown to attack Jimmy for screwing him and Cody, he got fined and escorted out the building. Who do you see in this photo? Obviously, we see the obvious. We see Bianca. We see Shotzi. We see Charlotte. But look in that doorway. Doesn't that look like Cody? That is Cody. Why was Cody? And this is the one thing I love that the WWE is doing now. Is they're dropping these little Easter eggs that they started it, God rest his soul, I'm getting the legacy merchandise, Bray Wyatt originally, because we started seeing the puppets appear in the background slowly, you know, you're getting that now with the WWE. But you're getting it with these weird combinations. Like, I remember we seen, I believe it was Rhea talking to Drew. I believe there was one time that it was the Uso talking to Rhea. You see these little small little details that's like, that's interesting. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, can we just get rid of the draft? You know? If I call AEW out on their bullshit, I have to call WWE out on theirs. And this whole draft is bull. It is. It's just stupid. It's pointless. Why are we doing this? You know, why are we subjecting ourselves to doing this? It just doesn't make any sense. Just get rid of it. Are we possibly even going to see? It's not on my list. It's not on my list of topics. But they kind of might have been teasing the idea of splitting the tag team titles now. You see Nick Aldis on Raw having a conversation with them, having a conversation with Pierce, right after Pierce talked about the tag team titles. It makes you think. I've been saying either they need to split the tag team titles up again or make the tag team titles go to both brands. Similar to how they did with the women's tag team title. The women's tag team title can get defended on any brand. Well, they unified the NXT women's tag team titles and the women's tag team titles. That's why Chelsea and Piper can go to NXT. So now I want to end it on a different note. I want to end it on AEW. So this past Saturday, AEW had their pay-per-view Full Gear. In my opinion, this was AEW's best pay-per-view ever. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say, I was watching a watch party, okay? So, I haven't seen all AEW's joints. But from the highlights that I've seen from all the other ones, this one was his best. And despite the main event, because I have a lot of questions about the main event, the main event is the exact same reason why I attack AEW. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I will explain in a minute. But as I do with the premium lives for the WWE, I'm going to do it for AEW, and I'm going to break it down with my match of the night, my OMG moment of the night, feel-good moment of the night, and performer of the night. Match of the night, I think, is universally known. I think everybody in the wrestling world will say this. That Texas Death Match between Hangman Page and Swerve was one of the most brutal matches I have witnessed, watched, be a watch party, seen the clips, the highlights, whatever you want to refer to. It is the most brutal match in my y'all know I've said I will exhaust myself with this. I've watched wrestling since I was 5 years old. I have never seen a match that brutal since following wrestling. I mean, from the time, I mean, not going back to like looking at Abdullah the Butcher and all of them. No. I'm talking about in modern time, recent time. Just putting it out there. Moment of the night, OMG moment. I think it definitely is an OMG moment. It's when Hangman drunk the blood of Swerve and spit it out. It's fucking disgusting. Utterly disgusting. Yeah. Feel good moment. Julie Hart wins the TBS title. And the performer of the night is Isaiah Swerve Strickland. I think he is in conversation for Wrestler of the Year, in my opinion. I feel like what Swerve has done with his career post WWE is proving the WWE made a mistake. That's what I think he's doing. If I'm correct, when Triple H took over as head of creative, and Vince had stepped down, and Triple H was bringing all his people back. He brought Hit Row back. But they apparently wanted Swerve back, and Swerve rejected the offer, which is then why Hit Row was referring to himself as the OG3. And Swerve made it real crystal clear, y'all ain't shit without me. And he kind of proved his point. He has been on a roll. He is probably my favorite person to watch on AEW next to the House of Black, next to Christian. It's like Swerve, House of Black, Christian, MJF. But yeah, I'm thinking that this man, I agree with the Ace when the Ace was saying that they need to make him be the first Black AEW heavyweight champion. I just hope that they do it though. You know, one thing that they say about NXT, or not NXT, AEW, is they will listen to the crowd. So hopefully TK listens to the crowd and gets this man that title, because he deserves it. He deserves it. Speaking of the world title, and this is where I'm going to end it, because I can't end on a positive note with AEW. I'm sorry. I just can't. It's not in me to do it. I have to now go at the bullshit that AEW did. I need AEW. I need all the... I don't think there's an AEW fan that can honestly explain the main event to me. Explain the mindset of what happened in the pre-show in the main event. So for those that did not watch Full Gear, that did not watch Dynamite, let me paint the picture of what happened. So Full Gear pre-show, before dark, before out, whatever the fuck they refer to that pre-show as, ROH tag team titles on the line, MJF with Samoa Joe, because Samoa Joe offered his assistance and he took it, fought the Guns. They won. Samoa Joe and MJF won. The Guns took out MJF. Adam Cole happens to be there because Adam Cole is there to support his bro Chacho and his tag team partner in MJF. They take out MJF. They mess his leg up. MJF, as he's getting carted onto the ambulance, getting sent away, yells to Adam Cole, "Do not let them take my belt. Whatever you do, don't let them take my belt." MJF is gone now. Someone decides that there still has to be a title match. So who's going to replace MJF? Oh, let's have it be Adam Cole, who is injured on crutches with the bum leg. Kind of interesting. You think? Kind of. Why? Explain that to me. Why? Just why? So then you have Adam Cole go against Jay White, Switchblade Jay White. And he's on crutches. Having ankle surgery. Gets in the ring. Does all this stuff. MJF comes back. MJF comes back, and you have about 12 people trying to stop MJF from getting in the ring to compete for the world title, his AEW title. They're trying to stop him. But no one stopped Adam Cole or tried to convince Adam Cole, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this match. Why are we doing this match? Right? Right. So then MJF comes in, has his match. With one leg, beats Jay White, who had the guns with him, who had Juice Robinson with him. Like, there's no reason. This is why I don't like faces. Because faces do this superhero. They present them to be these this superhero type stuff. The man had a leg injury and he did a cutter. He ran out the ring, hit a cutter out the ring and onto the mat. How is that possible? I know you want to give the suspension of when adrenaline kicks in, you don't feel nothing, this, that, and the third. But if he was carted off with a severe leg injury, how is it that this man is able to do what he did? How is it that Jay White, who had no injuries, lost to a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest? I'll wait. Somebody in these comments, let me know, how does Jay White lose to a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest? I will say this, because I don't want to leave on a negative note. I want to leave on a positive. I'm not positive, but I want to leave on a good thing that I've seen with AEW Dynamite. And that's this whole who's the devil, right? And if you watch Dynamite yesterday, there was a shot of Adam Cole sitting in the wheelchair and Samoa Joe was standing right there. I believe that Adam Cole is the man behind the devil mask. And I believe that Adam Cole is going to help Samoa Joe win the AEW world title. And I feel like that's going to be the shot right there. Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, standing there in Long Island, MJF's hometown, as Adam Cole reveals himself to be the devil. I hope everybody enjoys their holiday. I really, truly do. Make sure that if you like this video, you hit the thumbs up. If you're new to this channel, make sure you hit the subscribe button and hit the notification bell so you are up to date on when more content is dropping. I am the franchise, one half of the World Club Wrestling Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at RCW_podcast, which is also the same handle for us on Threads, even though, like I've said before, we don't really post on Threads. But you can also follow the Ace at RCW_Ace. That is his podcast page for, that's his Instagram page for the podcast. If you want to catch up more up to date with him on what's going on his side of the world of professional wrestling, what his takes and everything like that is going to be. Till next time, I may do a post show. I may come in to do a post show. You might never know, but be on the lookout. I will be having more stuff coming out in the future. Like I said, enjoy the holidays. Enjoy these days of wrestling. I do know that AEW thinks that they're slick because they want to do Collision and Rampage on Saturday against Survivor Series. Good fucking luck. I'm out.